Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
In every letter Paul wrote in the New Testament, he began with a salutation of grace and peace to you. Paul was given the ministry of the gospel of grace to the Gentiles, that by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. So grace is extended to all. God shows personal favoritism to no man, woman, boy, or girl. So join in the conversation as we explore the abundant blessing that comes with grasping God's grace. Ephesians 3:6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I, Paul says, became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. Now, Janie, Paul had a special calling to reveal the mystery of God's grace, yet it still seems to be a mystery to most Christians today.
Grace is like combining all the universes. It is so all-encompassing that we don't realize what grace is. I don't know about you, but as a child, grace for me was when Dad said a rote prayer before meals, and we called it grace.
Yeah.
And that was about all I knew about grace. And then when the Lord had drawn my heart into a point of recognizing my own sin in my life as a young child, then I, of course, was given Ephesians 2:8-9, that by grace are you saved, and it's not of yourself, it's not of works, lest any man should boast, it's a gift of God. So grace then kind of became, okay, the function that goes with salvation.
Right.
And now you're saved. So grace has done its work. Good.
And now I can move on.
And now I can move on. But then scripture was kind of opened up, very real. And 2 Peter 3:18, and I think I've got that here. It just says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, to Him be glory forever and ever. So now we really have another growth truth being presented to us, that there is a process that's going to keep on going. So then how do I grow in grace? And part of that would be to accept and see grace in every situation of my life. If you had a hard week, grace was right there. If you had a good week and things were on an upscale and you didn't feel like the gerbil that was running in its little cage, grace was there. I talked to someone earlier this week who has known the Lord for over a half a century and is questioning not grace, but how grace functions when life gets very impossible to live and challenged as a mature believer. So we need to really kind of understand in a capsule to say that grace is the person of Jesus Christ. And many times we, as we are growing in Christ, we can get sidetracked on the isms of spiritual growth. We can get sidetracked with sanctification, and that's the buzz. And although sanctification is necessary and a process of growth, we get to where everything relates to sanctification. Or we can get hung up on the counseling aspect of the daily walk, and we go into how to fix everything, which is true and valid. None of these are negatives. These are just spokes in a wheel. But I'd like for people to think about the spokes in the wheel that we have spoke of in the last 6 months. We've spoke about depression and how that can affect the soul and the spirit. We've talked about conscience. We've certainly had a time in the Garden of Eden to see the subtleties of where all of our trash began and has continued. But at the hub of this wheel is grace. And we appropriate the grace that is already given to us by faith. And we need that strong conscience to be able to do that. So the fragmentations of truth that we have been expressing really can all come together in grace. And grace will always be a person.
Okay.
And there's some statements that we can make about grace. And I can say, okay, do you think this is true or false? The flesh has no place in the plan of grace. Do you think that's a true or a false statement?
Well, that's true.
The flesh, our flesh, has no place in the plan of grace. That would be a true statement because law and grace do not mix.
Right.
And if you choose to live under any substance of law, then you don't nullify grace as far as grace and a principle and what's been given to you, but you do not know how to stand in the fullness and enjoy the benefits that grace gives you. Grace.
Well, that was a discussion that the disciples had.
Yes.
When Paul confronted them about having the law and mixing that with grace.
Well,
and trying to add to that.
In, I believe it is 1 Corinthians 10:5. This is out of the Amplified, Sharon, and I don't want to take too much time, but we probably don't understand how we violate grace in our life, because if we don't really understand it and we associate it with God's miraculous plan of salvation,
exactly.
Then how else does grace work when I'm in the pits? How else does grace work when I have a chronic health condition that doesn't go away and have to deal with pain that diverts my heart and my mind from being able to dwell on the things of the Lord? But in 1 Corinthians 10, the Lord talked about how he took care of his own people in the Old Testament, the Israelites, and that he showed them the same care that he shows us. In fact, we probably even have it in greater abundance. But in verse 5 of this passage, it says, "Yet most of them did not please God, and he destroyed them in the wilderness." And I used to look at that passage and think, oh, what pagan Christians. You know, how could they have been so blind? And then as I've lived my life, I've seen how they could have been so blind, because I fell into some of the same traps. So this is a good passage for us to digest. I don't know that we'll take the time today,
okay. But
I would like to repeat 1 Corinthians 10:5-14. And it's so subtle when he says that they worshiped idols. And then in the Amplified version of Scripture, it says that they worshiped idols when they sat down to eat and drink and then got up to dance and then had the golden calf. They were seeking pleasure. And so pleasure turned into idol worship because it replaced God Almighty as their first focus.
Mm-hmm.
And are we not falling into that same trap to where we don't call sin sin anymore? We call it dysfunction or my mistake. We're taking the pain out of idol worship and sin. We're making it comfortable. And something I learned by observance, I've known it for quite some time, but I saw it in action this week. And that is, so many of the children of God and those that are seeking God have got so much stress from the world, from the news, from school, if they're a millennial or if they're in school, from their jobs, from the pressure put on them by the unknowns of our society and worldwide global events, that when you start to talk to them about anything in the Christian life that has a challenge to it, to use a current terminology, they freak out. They shut down. They just cannot handle that additional stress, which if that stress was dealt with, then the other things would be able to be handled with. So what I'm telling you is, we right now seem to be living the Christian life backwards.
Right.
In Romans 5:17, it says, "Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. I don't know how many of us really believe John 10:10 that we are living the abundant life and that we are reigning in life. I don't know that this means after we die and go to heaven. I believe it is speaking of now. Romans 5:17. The understanding of God's grace is absolutely foundational to Christianity, and probably that's why so many are looking for the right things in all the wrong places, because we don't understand that it is a foundation. And with knowing about our identity in Christ and getting our foundation laid is the only way that we're going to be able to wake up joyful, confident, in quiet rest, and able to handle the issues that life dishes out to us.
And I think that has a lot to do with the roller coaster ride we go on as Christians. You know, we live on highs and lows in life and in our Christian life, just as people do that don't know the Lord. And there's not that steady foundation because we don't understand grace like we should. Knowing who we are in Christ has more to do with building our confidence in Christ than it does with building our confidence in self and our self-esteem and that, our own self-worth.
That can even be in our Christianity. That can even be in a denomination that you attend. You build false confidence in the things of the Lord, but not in the prioritizing that the Lord has called us to. Grace alone, Sharon, grace alone can free us from the penalty of sin, and that is the cross. And most of us are incredibly lacking in understanding the full knowledge of the cross. That is one of the issues in the foundations of faith. But grace also made provision to get us out from underneath the power of sin. And I've heard this week several different people say, "Oh, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace, but I'll always be a sinner. I'll always have a struggle." Mm-hmm. And I believe if you believe that, then that lie will be true in your life.
Yeah.
Because that's not the way the scriptures are really, that would be a very depressing gospel if that is the way that I had to live. And that's not the way that Jesus Christ has provided, but that is the way many people see their life if they stop it at salvation and then struggle and strain as the gerbil or up highs and lows, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. if we don't come into a greater knowledge, and that is yours and my desires. The Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." So when we are not able to live the abundant life, even in our difficulties, grace is not nullified just because things get hard, then we have to realize that we are somehow back under that secondary recovery, mm-hmm. the fact that we're using some other means.
Managing our sins.
Managing the sins. And of course, now we no longer call it sin because that's too hard to deal with. Mm-hmm. So we have found some nice words that won't upset our stomach when we realize that we're guilty.
Will you read that passage again?
The Romans 6:14, mm-hmm. "For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." And that law is a lot more than just the Ten Commandments. We are told in the New Testament that we have fulfilled the purpose of the law, which was to draw us unto a person so that we might have life. And then after that, the law has served its purpose. And our law, if you want to say that, is grace, which has no law. We are constrained by love. And the love of Christ causes us to desire to know and live under the beauty of grace. When you stop and think about grace, I like Lewis Sperry Schaeffer's definition. He boils it down to, "It's nothing less than the unlimited love of God expressing himself in measureless grace." So there's no limit to the love, and there's no way that you can measure the depth and what grace does for us today and will do for us throughout eternity. But grace ceases to be grace if God is compelled to withdraw it because of human failure of sin. And he won't withdraw his grace. It's been given. If he withdrew his grace, then he could withdraw his salvation.
Right.
And he could withdraw the power that he has freed us to have to live in sin. We've said it before. I'm going to say it again. We lived under the power of sin before grace was made real in our life at salvation. Grace was still already given, but let's say the activation or the automation was not made real. But when that happens, then for God to withdraw his grace would be for him to absolutely have to rewrite the whole Bible, the whole plan. So we need to recognize that grace will have some mysteries to us as we learn it.
Because we can't wrap our heads around it, and it's not for us to understand, it's for us to
enjoy. Well, let's start on some points of grace. We are born by grace. All right, and we know that. We've already covered that. That's the cross. That's salvation. That's the free gift. Then we are conformed by grace.
Okay.
Paul said in Galatians 4:19 that he travailed until Christ was formed in us. Now, as we talk about grace, don't ever let it become a thing or a entity. It is the person of Jesus Christ. So Paul was saying, I travail until Jesus Christ is formed in you.
Okay.
And then we live by grace. Colossians, I think it's 2:6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, if we received him full of grace, if we received him as a gift that we couldn't do anything, then we need to realize that our daily walk, it's got to be engineered, I hope that's a word that we can relate to, engineered by grace. Now, that doesn't give us the cop-out that some people try to use with Romans 6:1, which mm-hmm. says,
shall we continue in sin
that grace may abound? And that's, God forbid, how ridiculous.
Yes.
But we do recognize that we respond to the grace that has been given to us if our heart truly has been born again. There's a lot of people that are doing many mighty deeds that I'm not sure that the grace of God has really been born, but they've been trained in a way that if they do good deeds, then they will be accepted. God has created us, he's given to us, he works for us. And in Philippians 2:13, it says that it is God who worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. So we could not do the good works that he has prepared for us before the foundations of the world if it was not for grace working in us to do those things. And you know what? A new babe is showered and just so covered with grace. I always like for new children in Christ to be praying for me because the grace that abounds in their prayers is wonderful. But you know, after a period of time, the struggles have hit, the roller coaster ride has taken the energy out of you, and you're left more with a pit in the stomach, and you're tired of being on the gerbil wheel. And so you find that you may start to wane somewhat in your performance, in your love for the Lord. That's why he told the church at Ephesus, you've left your first love. Mm-hmm. Okay, they were not appreciating and living in the grace. So as that happens, then that has a tendency for doubt to creep back in. And I don't know what to say except works versus grace.
Okay.
You can't have one without another. You can love the Lord, and yet your love cools, and the old elements of your old life start to reassert themselves. And then you kind of get on a roller coaster again of trying to regain your spiritual balance, but you only seem to fail more. That's the people that I see just constantly dealing with, let's say, anger issue, or they deal with a constant sense of victimization, and they just cannot get past that in their scripture life. In Romans 7, moving from Romans 6, where we are established that we do have these freedoms and these gifts that have been given to us, Then we go into Romans 7, and that is what we call the woe chapter. Woe am I. I try to do what I want to do, but I don't do what I should do, and woe is me. Do you know how many Christians live there until they're put in the casket? They never, ever get past Romans 7, which says, oh, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? So many Christians go to the grave without ever getting past Romans 7. Are they born again? Absolutely. Has God's grace held them in their in their walk? Absolutely. Has the grace been sufficient? Absolutely. But have they limited their ability to grow in grace, which is a commandment to us? And so, by means of our struggle and our failure to live the Christian life, the Lord Jesus is teaching us the indispensable grace principle of Galatians 2:20. Do you have that there?
Yes.
Okay, would you read Galatians 2:20 and 2:21?
It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain or needlessly.
Okay, two things there. Galatians 2:20 should be every Christian's grace principle go-to verse, because that is a description of how grace operates practically in our thinking, in our life. And that takes us back to the centrality of what the cross is. And it's more than salvation. Salvation is the opening door, but we live the principle of the cross with Galatians 2:20. And we have to recognize that in verse 21, would you read that again?
I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain.
All right, so we need to recognize that God crucified the flesh, Romans 6:6. Now, if he tried to give you any credence to that flesh that he crucified, it would be impossible, because he would then be helping to restore the very thing he crucified and went to the cross for. Right. So it really makes it almost utterly ridiculous when we think that we can get ourselves to maturity apart from grace and apart from the cross. It just doesn't happen.
Well, John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Us being the branches connected to the vine, that is our life support. Without him, we can do nothing. We are nothing. We have nothing. We can do nothing without him. So being connected to that vine is who we are in Christ. Having him be our life support, so to speak. That's why grace is so important, understanding that Jesus Christ is grace.
Because the vine and the branches is another example of grace and how to live grace on a daily basis. So to wrap it up, then, we can say that today we understand that grace is nothing less than the unlimited love of God expressing himself in measureless grace, and that we're born by grace, we're conformed by grace, we live by grace. And we have several examples of the vine and the branches. All of life is all by grace.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find the abundant life even in the trials and tribulations as we learn to understand
as
grace.
As we grow
in grace and knowledge.
I think many times we've looked at the knowledge part of that scripture and not the grace part.
That's right, because so we could understand knowledge,
yes,
but we didn't understand
knowledge.
Grace.
We can understand growing in that, but we can't understand growing in grace. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Jamie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time. And God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHart's.org. That's Sharon, SHARIN, Hearts, HEARTS.org.